So we're kind of continuing with the series that we've been in John chapter 15. Awesome chapter in the Gospel of John. And we're talking about the vine. And it's kind of a close topic to me because I would somewhat consider myself a little bit of a green thumb. Not as much as my dad. It was funny because in the back in prayer we were talking about sleeping in or waking up early, and every weekend I wasn't allowed to sleep in. I had to get up, pull weeds, mow the lawn, do all that stuff. Anybody there with me? Anyone not allowed to sleep in? All right. It was time to get to work. I mean, if the sun was up, you don't get to sleep in. You got to go get to work on the weekends. You know, weekend cartoons, they're not for you. So, that was kind of my background. I know the weeds thing. And so when we get to the vine, it's kind of a fun topic. And I think that's cool how Jesus would talk to the people in parables in ways that they would understand. Obviously, it was a lot of vineyards, a lot of field work that the people were doing. So God can speak to them, and he could speak to us in the same way. So I think that it's there for us to understand that way. So we're going to go ahead and go to John chapter 15. Have your Bibles. Please join me in John chapter 15. All right. John chapter 15. And we're continuing in verse 4. So far we've talked about how God is the vine. He is the life, the vine dresser. We talked about how he has to prune us. And a lot of us didn't, you know, it kind of made us move around in our seats because we didn't want to think how God's going to prune us. But ultimately we found out it was good because when he prunes us, he gives us more fruit. And, continuing just believing that God can help change us and God is the life and God is the fruit bearer. So what we're going to talk about tonight in chapter 15, verse number 4, I'll just go ahead and read it for us. Jesus speaking, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." Tonight the title, if you guys are taking notes, and I hope you are, it's called Living a Fruitful Life. I was going to call it How to Live Fruity, but I thought that might not work too good. Might not sound too good on the podcast. What are they teaching over there? How to live fruity. So we just change that up real quick. Living a fruitful life. Everybody okay? That one better? All right. It was funny because last week in the discussion questions, Pastor Joseph, one of the questions was kind of asking us to rank where we felt as far as where we were and producing fruit in our lives. And actually, I was up here with Angelina and Pastor Joseph, and we were kind of talking, and I remember I was trying to calculate, where am I on a scale of 1 to 10? Where am I about, and how much fruit do I produce? Let's see, I've been preaching the last couple weeks in youth. There were some salvations. That was cool. I helped some guy out with some gas. You know, I'm calculating in my head, like, okay, here we go, and I come up with this number. And, I realized that that's not where the number I would still say. I came up with a 7, if you guys were wondering. I thought it wasn't great, but it wasn't a 4. If any of you guys said 4, sorry, I wasn't trying to bash on you. But it was a 7. I was just like, oh, okay. And I just started to think about it like, okay, I have it all wrong here. I'm here trying to make calculations based on numbers and based on my thought process and based on all things that I've done. All my works, based on what I'm doing according to how my work is. Okay, yeah, I preached, I did this and that. I followed some guideline to get there. But, realizing, looking back now, that I had it all wrong. I still came to the conclusion about a 7. But the way I got there was a little bit different. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Because some of us, I think we're a little bit, might have not understood what fruit is. So I'm a little bit of a nerd when it comes to the stuff, in the Bible, because I want to know exactly what it meant. Because how many know Jesus and the disciples weren't exactly speaking English? So they were speaking different languages. They were speaking Greek and Aramaic and so forth. So the Bible was written in a different language. And we've all heard of things being lost in translation. So I kind of like to go back to the original root words. So we're going to practice a couple Greek words tonight. Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
All right. So what is fruit? So in John chapter 14, 4, when it talks about, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So I was just like, okay, fruit. So I look back to the Greek, and the word for fruit is carpos. Can you guys say carpos? I got it off this website, blueletterbible.com, and you can even press play, it'll pronounce it for you, so that's where the carpos comes from. And the definition is in reference to, refers to an effect or the result of a deed or act. An effect or the result of a deed or act. In other words, as a result of your deeds or acts, what is the effect of that? And that is fruit. You guys got that? That is fruit. As a result of your deeds or acts, what is the effect of that? That is fruit. So when we sometimes hear fruit, we only think it's as a good thing. But we all know that we can do bad deeds and bad acts, and so the effect is going to be bad, right? Thanks, guys. All right. So, is it my job to bear fruit? Is it our job to bear fruit? Absolutely it is. Is it just and that's where I'm thinking, that's where I got it all wrong, because I'm here thinking because I preached or because I did something, that's where I was able to get to a number 7 or to get my rankings and my calculations. But it's all of our jobs to bear fruit. It's all of our jobs to do work. It's all of our jobs to represent Christ, right? So we can't just think of it as, oh, by this act, because I ushered, because I played guitar, because I played drums. Those aren't the way that we can just calculate fruit. And so what we're going to talk about tonight, I think is an important thing, is how to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Because who wants to not be a fruit-bearing Christian? I think we all want to bear fruit in our Christian walk with God. It's important to bear fruit. It's one of the essential things. In fact, pretty much everything that we talk about through all the series, through all the books of the Bible, are all giving us tools and resources that will allow us to be better fruit bearers, right? So, here we go. Point number one in how to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Now, before we get into it, I'm not pretending to know these are all the secrets. These are just a few of the points. So don't, you know, there's plenty more. There's a lot of ways to become a fruit-bearing Christian. We're just going to cover 3 tonight. Is that okay? Yeah. All right, so number one, don't look back. Don't look back. In Luke chapter 9:62, Jesus says, "But Jesus says to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Don't look back. So here he is, Jesus talking about, if you think of a plow, right, and here we're still talking about in references to field work and so forth. We all know what a plow is, right? There's those big things. They're driven by oxen oftentimes, and they help you make the holes where you're going to put the seeds. So if I have an oxen in front of me with a leather strap controlling, and I have this plow here, and I'm going to try to plow my way into make the hole for the seeds, if I'm looking back, how productive am I going to be in making that? What's that line going to look like? Probably a circle, not in the line at all. So God is saying, Jesus is saying, it's not fit for the kingdom at all. So if you're looking back, there's nothing to do. So first of all, let's pause right there because, okay, yeah, we know not to look back. We're a new creation in Christ. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a new creation, right? You're telling me old stuff, Antonio. That's old. Well, I thought the same thing too. And I'm like, as I'm studying for this, I'm like, God, what do you mean don't look back? See, a lot of us, and I believe there's a lot of us in here tonight, that we're not just talking about looking back on past sins, mistakes, and failures. Although some of us do that. But we're talking about decisions that we made that maybe we're just kind of like, did I do the right thing? Or I just turned that job down, or I walked out of that relationship, but maybe I don't want to. So we're looking back at things that are kind of in the present that aren't necessarily mistakes, aren't necessarily sins, aren't necessarily taboo for people to start criticizing. So no one's going to criticize you over it. It's just going to be you and your conviction and your spirit about it. But we're going to be looking back, and that's going to hold you back. That's not going to keep you fit for the kingdom. If you're looking back, you're going to, at some point, your line for God is going to end up like a circle. And you're going to end up right where you started, right? So there's trials that we're going through in our lives that have taken us places that we're just, you know, we don't know where we're going, why we're going where, but the reality is the past is the past is the past. It's done. So if you're wrestling with things in here tonight that, you know, that those type of decisions, just, oh, I don't know why I made that, or I can still fix that, or just trying to go back, you have to realize, just don't look back. Just go forward. Keep pressing on with God. Because forward is the only way to go with Christ. Amen. Philippians, turn with me, please. the timer's set. Can you set it back for 45 more minutes, please? I think we can be good. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, just checking if you guys are awake with me. The quieter it is, the longer I preach. You guys heard that one before? All right, Philippians chapter 3. Gets loud all of a sudden, all right. Philippians chapter 3. Here he goes. Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Philippi. And this is the New Living Translation, so you can see it up on the overhead. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Here goes Apostle Paul talking, like, look, guys, I'm not acting like I have it all together. I'm not acting like I have everything, like I know the future, like I know, like it's set in stone, like I can tell you exactly what Christ is going to do in your life, but I can tell you what I won't do. I'm not looking back. Because what lies ahead is what's more beneficial to me. Guys, what lies ahead in your life is more beneficial than what could ever be behind you. Because you can't change that. But if you take a point from this day on, from this point, you know what? With Christ I go, and you're going to be more better off than you would ever be looking back, wasting your time. You know, I was looking at my, actually just this morning I was studying, I was looking outside of my lawn, you know, we started, every time I got a new timer for the grass, because it was getting pretty bad, it was pretty yellow, and because we have this big tree in front of the house, and because the grass was dying, the tree in the grass was dying. So there's just leaves falling all the time. I'm like, man, why can't these? It's not even falling. The leaves are falling. Like, what's going on here? You have to mow the lawn just to rake up the leaves. I didn't want to have to mow the lawn. I did enough work as a child. I don't want to do this anymore. I was kidding. All right. So I'm looking at the lawn, and it's come a long way. Come a long way. It's green again, and not as many. And so because the grass has come to life, the trees kind of come back to life, green, not as many leaves falling. But I look back in the tree, and there's still some dead branches. It's just like, okay, the tree's not dead, but there's still a lot of dead branches in there. There's just not producing anything, not dead leaves, just dead branches. It needed to get a guy in there to get it pruned. And the thing I was thinking about that is because the dead branch, we did everything we could to bring it back to life. The rest of the tree came back to life, but that branch is dead. It's obviously not going to come back. That branch is dead and needs to be pruned and move forward. That's not a deep concept. That's not a deep thought. I'm not going to try to pretend it is. But what made me think about is that, see, when I get this guy or whoever comes out to get it pruned, they're going to trim it back right to where it's going to be life. They're going to trim it back to the next branch because, you know, branches branch off of other branches and it keeps going. To find a healthy branch. So what are you going to do? You're not going to cut it to another dead branch. Because there's dead branches coming off of dead branch. The whole branch is dead. So you're going to cut it all the way back to where there's life, right? You don't cut it all the way. You're not going to cut it just, and it's going to be a waste of a cut. You got to cut it all the way back to where it's life. So that original branch that has life can grow healthy again, right? That's what we talked about verse 2 of this chapter. That in the pruning, it will help us because it will be able to produce better fruit. So what am I saying? That dead branch is not coming back to life. It's gone. There's dead branches in your lives, guys, that it's not coming back. It's not coming back. There's the things that God has restored for you. God's not going to restore every relationship. He's not going to get you back with your ex that you shouldn't have been in the first place. You guys hearing me tonight? He's not going to put you back in line to a destiny that is going to lead you to hell. It's dead. Leave it. Leave the branch to die. Those branches are dead, but there is life deep down right at the root. It's not the branch's job to find life. The main tree, that's where there's life, right? You don't see the branches coming down into the ground to get water. It's the trunk. The trunk and the branches come from the trunk. God is that trunk. God is that source of life in our lives. As branches, it's not our job to go find our own lives. But like we were talking about in verse 2, God's going to do the pruning in our lives to allow life to come out from that. To allow life to come out from our branches. But what is dead is dead. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. All right, we good? All right, point number 2. Remain in Him. How to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Remain in Him. That seems like 101, guys, but But I'm telling you, as I was studying this, I just felt like this one just kind of was the hardest one to swallow. Because this one, I think it covers across all different walks of our Christian lives, whether from baby Christians to the most spiritual of most spiritual people. Because what it's saying is remain in him. So we're going to go back to verse 4. Verse 4, sorry. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. So here we go back to a Greek lesson. You guys ready for a Greek word number 2? Yeah. Abide. Because by its context, you kind of just think abide in him. Abide in, okay, so like kind of stay, like be with, right? Like, okay, I'll be with God. Well, then I got to thinking. No, I got to thinking. The Greek word got to thinking for me. So let's say menos. Menos. In Spanish, menos means less, right? You know, Spanish speakers out there? Menos. But, I guess there's not. I'm the only brown guy here today. All right, guys. Abide in the Greek refers to remain or to not depart from. Do not depart from me and I will not depart from you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. But God, remain. Why don't you just say, be in me? See, because the reality is, if God's saying, remain in me, that means that you can kind of go through and not stay. People opt out. You know, we get saved, and then we don't necessarily remain in God. God is our life. We walk the aisle, we raise our hand, we say a prayer, but we're not remaining in Christ. We don't allow Christ to remain in us. It's kind of this pass-through that we go to. It's this choice that we make that we just kind of made one day and that we just moved on. But God is saying, remain in me. Remain in me. And I think it's so funny the way that he worded it, because he said, remain in me first, and then he goes on to talk about that there is no life outside of the vine. That you can't bear fruit unless you're in me. So remain in me, and then you can bear fruit. You'll bear my godly good fruit. But you have to remain first. A lot of us, I think this point kind of comes to us Christians that have maybe been Christians a little while. Pastor Luke gave me a book to help me study for this one. It's called Secrets of the Vine, right? It goes through John chapter 5, and this author is talking about that he came to this place in his life. He came to this place in his life where he was in ministry, and this one day he just kind of didn't know what he was doing. And he goes to visit this friend, a mentor of his, and this mentor said, like, I know exactly where you're at. He's like, what are you talking about? I haven't even said anything. He's like, I know exactly where you're at. Go ahead and tell me what you're going through. He starts, he's like, I knew it. This is where you're at. So this is an awesome little visual that he had. I'm not a big reader. I always like movies better. I'm more of a visual person. But, you know, it is true. I guess, you know, reading does have some cool things. I didn't think that you could actually get a visual from a book. So that was kind of cool. So I got this visual out of this book. It didn't even have a movie or pictures or anything. So, okay, you got to stay with me, right? So he's like, look, man, this is exactly what you're going through. He's like, picture. Let me get my sleeves rolled up real quick. It's not a magic trick or anything like that. So, okay, my right hand. My right hand. This represents your relationship with God. Your left represents your knowledge and your works in God. See, when you first get saved, you're kind of like, your relationship, you're zealous, you know, you don't know too much yet. You're kind of just baby Christian. We're not all there yet. We don't know everything about everything. We can't finish verses when the preacher is talking about, and leaves the blank, and you're like, wait till someone else says, amen! And you finish it. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? I knew that verse. Yeah. See? So maybe you're not all there. Don't feel bad. But you're zealous. You're going after God. So your right hand's a little bit higher than your left. Like my visual so far? Okay. So here it goes. You're right. And then you kind of get more mature. You've been Christian for a while, so you kind of even out here. Your relationship with God is going good, and your knowledge is going good. You're getting involved in ministry. You're ushering. You're playing in the band. You're doing your works. But then what can happen is your knowledge keeps on increasing, and your volunteerism increases, but your relationship kind of staggers, and before you know it, what you're doing for God overshadows your actual relationship with God. And I think this is exactly what he's meaning when he's saying, remain in me. Because here I was calculating my salvations that I've been a part of and my volunteer hours and the good things that I've done. But where's your relationship with God? Did you guys get that? Where's your relationship with God at? Because what are we doing? Because here I am getting so busy. Oh, wow, I preach this and, you know, ministry doors are opening up for me. People are seeing me. But, you know, 3 days I haven't read my Bible or even prayed more than 10 minutes or just for my meals. Where's my relationship with God? Am I really remaining in Him? Am I allowing Him to remain in me? How can my fruit actually be anything? Is it really a 7? Maybe it's a 2. I don't know. Ask yourselves, guys. Because it could be so easy to get really wrapped up, and it's really fun to get involved, and it's great. But if our fruit isn't any good, if our fruit isn't godly fruit, then it's not going to be worth anything, guys. We all see flowers, dandelions. It looks like a pretty little yellow flower to someone who doesn't know, but to a green thumb like myself. I know it's a weed. I got to pull it. Like, why are you pulling that flower? It's a weed, man. Just because it has a flower, just because it might look pretty, it's not good fruit. It's a weed. Remain in Him. Here he goes for opportunity for those of you guys. John chapter 14, verses 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All right, say it now. Life. Jesus is the life, guys. He is the life that we have to remain in. Because like we talked about, He is the source for all that we do. To try to manipulate something where it looks like it's on us, we're going to fail every time. How do we remain in the relationships that we currently have? How do we keep steady with those kind of things? If you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, a wife, you guys talk, what, once a month? Write letters only? No, you guys hang out, go out to dinner, go on dates, talk on the phone. That's how you remain in each other's relationship. So why would it be any different with God who you're trying to have a relationship with? Why would your time with God be once a month, 5 minutes in the Bible, pray before your meals? Amen. Last thing I want to talk about, guys. Point number 3. Planting good seed. How can you plant? How can you have good fruit if there's no seed? Plant good seed. Plant good seed. Go and go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Everybody still good? Matthew 13, verse 24. I'll look into one of those awesome little parables we were talking about. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came to him and said, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us to then go gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them.'" So here's this guy sowing good seed. But then at night, enemy comes. He's like, "I don't want, hater, I'm a hater." He had an I am a hater shirt on. And he walked through and like, "Ooh, tares, you know, putting weeds, putting dandelions. Here's your little grapevine, huh? Putting tares in there. See what comes up with that." I don't know. Sorry. Got excited for a second. All right, but so here we have his good seeds. And then they finally sprouts, and then you see the weeds in there. What does that mean? Plant good seed. What are you talking about? Well, this is what I was starting to think about. Because, see, any of you guys have been saved a decent amount of time? Like to consider yourselves good Christians. You have godly friends. But maybe you have some friends that aren't necessarily serving God. It's okay to have friends that aren't necessarily serving God. So when you hang out with them, you like to think yourself as like, "I'm the Christian guy. I'm going to go hang out with my..." You tell your Christian friends, "I'm going to go hang out with my worldly friends tonight." right? You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm going to hang out with my worldly friends. Pray for me, guys. Pray for me. I'm going out. I'm going to go minister to my worldly friends. Meanwhile, they're like, hey, I'm going to hang out with this guy who says he's a Christian. But that's neither here nor there. Anyways, so here we go. We're going to go hang out. We're going to sow some seed. But here you are while you're saying, hey, you know, you maybe you are a Christian friend of them. When they come to you, when they need prayer, they talk to you about their relationships. They respect that you go to church. They're cool with that, right? Well, yeah, I'm cool with you go to church. That's cool. But so you plant good seed. And if you would say, this like this guy here, he had some good seed in there. But picture this. What if you're the enemy too? What if with some of your good seed, you try to do the, oh yeah, you know, I got to minister to you too. Or you're right there when a girl walks by looking fly. I'm not trying to rhyme, but I was at that second. I was trying to find something else, but I couldn't find anything. It wasn't planned to, but I couldn't. Never mind. All right, here we go. Okay, girl walks fly, looking by. Anyways, okay. So then you're right there too. Throwing some bad seed in there with that good seed that you planted. So all of a sudden you become someone who's planting some good seed and then some bad seed with it. Let me give you an example. Last weekend, went to this car show. And this block party car show is a fundraiser for a classmate of mine who passed away last year. They were doing a fundraiser. They're having a memorial fund for him. And so I went with my brother. And so I didn't go with anybody from church, any of my friends. And so, you could take this a couple different ways. And I was going to see all people that I went to high school with. Now I talked to about maybe 2-3 people from high school. One of them is here tonight. Josh, where you at? Anyways, talked to just a couple people from high school. Not really hang out much with them. So these were going to be all people that I haven't really seen since graduation, some of them. Now, I could have gone this way like, oh, so no one knows me. Because I usually hang out with work friends here at church. Or Christian friends, like I said, my Christian friends that will keep you nice and accountable. So I could have done this a couple different ways. I could have taken this as a place of like, I'm free. No one knows me here. No one has any kind of expectations for me. But any kind of seed that I might have planted that was good, I could have been that enemy planting some bad seed inadvertently. You guys get what I'm talking about? So I think what happens a lot of times, and the point in saying plant good seed is that, look, wherever we go, we're planting seeds. Every impression is a seed. First impression, second impression, third impression, they're all seeds. When you're hanging out with your friend, you're planting seeds. Every word that you say is a seed. Every act that you make, every proclamation that you make is a seed. You guys get what I'm going with this? We're walking, living, we're planting something wherever we're going. So the question is, what kind of seeds are you leaving behind? I'm not saying you have to be perfect. Oh my gosh. Now that you say that, I'm just this horrible person. I'm such a bad friend. That's not why I'm bringing this up. But I wanted to bring to light that every impression, every place you go, you are planting seeds. So if you're trying to be a good Christian friend or a good Christian period that wants to do some good seeds, you have to be constant. You have to be constant. It's not something that you can choose to do one day and not the other. You're just going to cross each other out because here comes that good fruit, right? That grapevine, and then there's that tear right there with it. And what did he say? He said, what do you want us to do? You have to tear it all out. So you might not as well have done anything. Because in that good seed is going to be that bad. It's going to be that weed. It's going to be that tear. And you have to tear the whole thing out. So all your time, all your prayer, all those things that you were hoping for with that seed, it can go away just like that. It can go away just like that. So guys, in our lives, we have to plant good seeds. We have to make sure that what we're doing around our friends, in our lives, these are things that we can be proud of. You guys all right? Almost done. Last point here. And again, I'm not trying to make you look back, even though that was point one, don't look back. But we're talking about for the future. Because maybe you're sitting here and you're here today and you're thinking like, oh man, if I calculated my seed, you know, the fruit that I have seen in my life, there's nothing to go for. There's no fruit. Then I was reading something the other day and a guy I follow on Twitter, he's a former pastor, he said, don't judge everything by the harvest you're reaping, but by the seeds that you're planting. So I thought that was pretty good because, you know, there could be times in our life, that's that looking back stuff. You can say, oh man, all this fruit that I've seen in my life, you're at a time in a season in your life where you're just reaping all kinds of bad. You got let go from your job. You can't catch a break. You can't get into school. There's just nothing going good. You're like, why am I reaping all this bad stuff? The reality is you sowed some bad seed back then. But what are you sowing now? What are you sowing now? So you can't necessarily get discouraged on the seeds that, or on the fruit that you see yourself reaping now, because you're planting some new seed. And hopefully, prayerfully, it's good seed. Amen? So there's, you can't be discouraged by that, because we can say, you can try to compare yourselves all day and you're going to fall short. Oh man, look at what that guy's doing for Christ. I'm nowhere near that. My fruit is not that. My fruit is this. And I'm going through hell and back. And I just, oh my gosh, like what the heck? I can't do anything right. No, you still have those seeds that you can plant. Because everywhere you go, like we said, every impression, every interaction with someone, you have an opportunity to plant seeds. And it's up to you what kind of seeds you want to plant. So point number three, plant good seeds. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. We'll close with this. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Guys, I am so excited about what I see. As someone who, I work here at the church, I work for the Bible college, as someone who's just, I love seeing what the kingdom of God is doing. I like seeing what ministries are doing. I like seeing what we're doing here at The Rock. Lives are being changed. Salvation's happening every week. Baptisms, man, it is such an awesome time in the kingdom of God right now. It is such an, I mean, it seems like there's just, churches are growing. Lives are changing. We see in the world, we see all kinds of turmoil. But man, I have hope for our future. And I hope you guys do too, because there's some awesome things going on in the kingdom of God right now. And you guys should just jump on in, because it's just going to, it's going to blow, man. And I believe that as Christians that we can see a change in our generation. Amen. That's something to give God a round of applause for, because I know that God wants to use our generation for something great. And it's happening, man. Those seeds have been planted and we're starting to reap that now. But the harvest is, man, there's such a harvest out there. There's so many people that need Jesus. But at this point, Jesus was saying, but the workers are few. So there's this great big field that needs to be, we need to bring all the fruit in. There's so much fruit out there. But we only have a little bit of workers. Maybe we need to go south of the border, get some real quick. I don't know, touchy subject. Outsource. The workers are few, guys. The workers are few. Jesus is saying the workers are few. Are we too few? As our generation, are we too few, or can we do it? Can we do it? Are we going to rise up to the occasion? That's some big field. Let's go do it. There's so many. Our friends need Jesus. Our parents need Jesus. Our family needs Jesus. Are the workers really too few? Because it's the ripe harvest. Amen. If you guys got something from God today, let's give him a round of applause.